everyone. Welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's personal finance podcast, where we discuss all things money. Bank locker holders have been receiving SMSs and emails from their banks asking them to sign revised locker agreements by the 30th of June. If you recall, it was only a few months back that bank locker holders had been asked to sign such agreements. So why a revised locker agreement, and why once again? What does the new agreement mean for bank locker holders? Does it offer better protection? And what happens if you don't sign the agreement until the 30th of June? To answer these questions and more, we have with us today Puneet Kapoor. Puneet is President, Products, Alternate, Channels and Customer Experience Delivery at Kotak Mahindra Bank. Hi Puneet, welcome to this episode of Simply Save. Happy to have you here today.
Thank you. Thanks, Malik.
So, Puneet, people, you know, with bank lockers have been receiving communication from their banks asking them to sign revised locker agreements by the 30th of June. In fact, there are cases where people have already signed these revised agreements a few months back, and I believe they are being asked to still sign some agreement. So, can you give our listeners some quick background on why are bank lockers, you know, why are bank locker holders being asked to sign revised agreements?
Okay, so there is a little more background to it, and it all started, way back with a particular incident where a bank happened to inadvertently break open a customer's locker. Mm-hmm. And that situation got escalated, went to the levels of Supreme Court. Full investigation was done, and then Supreme Court kind of advised the Reserve Bank of India to frame a model agreement on locker as a subject to loop in IBA. Mm-hmm. And the locker agreement was to be structured so that it protects interests of both parties, the two parties here being the bank and the consumer.
Right.
Thereby maintaining uniformity across all banks in the country.
Okay.
So with that background is where, you know, the model agreement, draft of the model agreement was circulated to all the banks via IBA.
Mm-hmm.
This was shared in January 2022, which was adopted by the banks. Subsequently, there was another directive which asked IBA to include certain more clauses. So it was reshared with the banks in February 2023. Okay. And that's what has translated into a little bit of a back and forth and a repeat effort, both on part of the banks and the consumers, to really comply with the directives which are coming to us via the banking regulator, but as directed by the Supreme Court of the country.
Okay, but is it the case that where people were asked to already sign the revised agreement, they are still being asked to sign a supplementary agreement, or it's just kind of being redone a bit?
Yes, it is because, you know, this whole process started last year. And like right. I said, the final revision has been received by the banks in February 2023. So all customers who had signed the first addendum prior to February 2023, banks have been have been required to go back to those customers and make them re-sign the addenda. So yes, that's the case.
Okay. So Puneet, I have a few questions around this revised locker agreement, but before I get to that, just wanted to understand. So today, if I have a bank locker and I want to sign the revised agreement, I can just simply visit my bank branch where I have the locker. But
absolutely.
Are there other ways in which banks are letting customers sign this agreement? Can it be done online? Or what does one do if somebody's a senior citizen, can't come to the bank? Or it's a case where there are joint holders to a locker and maybe one person is in a particular city and another person is elsewhere. So how to go about it then?
Okay, so recently IBA conducted a session with all the banks where it was explored whether the renewal agreements can be signed online.
Okay.
Yeah. So coming out of that session that all the banks had with IBA, banks are exploring a mechanism keeping into loop the legal and the compliance functions of whether a e-signing of logger agreement can be made to happen. So it's work in progress. It's yet not firmed up on how a e-signing of the logger agreement can be made to come alive. But as an alternative, what many banks are doing is, especially in the case of where you have joint holders who are differently located, typically you want the same piece of paper to be signed by all the holders. But to facilitate this function, banks are helping customers of city who are located in city A to sign in city A, and customer who's the joint holder located in city B to sign in city B. And then what we typically have as the home branch of the customer to collate both the pieces of paper and secure it. So that's one approach which we are taking. In a situation where you have a senior citizen who can't visit the branch, we have also created a facility wherein the officer of the bank can visit the address of the customer and get the customers to sign that piece of addendum and bring it back and file it in the records of the bank.
I think, Puneet, you already kind of mentioned this, that there's like a draft agreement. So would it be correct to say that this revised locker agreement is actually exactly the same across all the banks? There's really no difference between the agreement?
It should be. Yeah, the clauses have been defined by IBA. So it should be kind of cut and paste.
Okay. And again, like you said, you know, there's a lot of complexities involved in this whole process. So is the 30th June deadline like the final deadline, or banks are trying to do it by then, but customers will still be able to do it even after that?
So that's the given date. All banks are operating to meet and fulfill and get all the addendums signed within that date. Would we be able to comply 100%? No guarantee. A lot of customers who hold locker facilities with the banks are also NRIs. They wouldn't be accessible. Like you said, customers could be in different situations, right? May not be able to reach the bank and fulfill this requirement. So I think closer to time, we will submit the progress made and then take fresh guidance from the Reserve Bank of India.
Sure, makes sense. So then kind of, you know, Puneet, coming to the agreement itself, how is this revised locker agreement very different from what has been in place so far? You know, what are the key differences from the customer's perspective?
I would say two prominent differences. One talks about customer rights. In other words, the customers now have a right to use the locker for keeping belongings and expect reasonable care from the bank for protecting such belongings. Bank is liable for loss of such belongings for in the case of any negligence on the part of the bank, except natural calamities, civil disturbances, riots, war, or terrorist attack. So that's one significant clause which has been added in the addendum. The other one is, to use the technical term, deletion of word fire. What does that mean? In the earlier agreement, fire word was included in the exemptions for bank's liability, whereas in the new agreement, fire word is excluded and bank is now liable for loss of belongings in case of fire. These are the two very material changes in the new agreement vis-a-vis the earlier agreement.
So earlier, if there was a destruction of lockers because of, you know, a fire in the banks would not be held liable, but now they will be held liable.
Yeah.
And the other case, like you said, if there's a destruction due to natural calamities, that is not covered. Bank is not going to be held liable. But any other negligence or a man-made factor that affects the bank locker, in that case, banks are going to be held responsible for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then one question on that, Puneet. Now, my understanding is when I put something in my locker, the bank doesn't know what exactly I've put in. How are banks going to compensate customers?
In the event of negligence on the part of the bank, the guidance that has come through the ruling is that up to 100 times the annual rent is what the banks could be held responsible for. So wherever it is a legitimate reason that the banks need to compensate to the customer, the compensation could be up to 100 times of the annual rent that the customer was paying.
Okay, so there is some degree of safety that a customer, you know, there is some skin in the game for the banks to ensure that the locker is safe.
Yeah.
Got it. Then coming to the point about, you know, the rent that you pay on a bank locker. Now, my understanding is if I have a savings account with the bank, the rent gets automatically deducted at the start of the year. Is it always the case like that? Or are there cases where banks have not deducted rent and there's pending rent? And, you know, what happens in that sort of a situation?
So the provision is two ways. One is where a customer has a bank account, you take a standing instruction permitting the bank to debit the locker tariff beginning of the fiscal cycle. The second option is where a customer may not have a savings account, in which case the banks are permitted to take an advance from the customer equivalent to 3 years of rental and charges for breaking open of locker in case of such an event. So you make a fixed deposit in the name of the customer for that amount. Mm-hmm. And then every year you take the annual rental equivalent of amount from the fixed deposit. So there are two ways banks can recover their rental.
Okay. In fact, now that you bring this point about fixed deposits, so, you know, I've also had people, you know, sometimes grumbling that I wanted a locker with the bank and they want me to open a fixed deposit. So what is like the RBI instruction or guidelines on this?
Like I just qualified, two ways. If the customer has a checking account with the bank, banks will take a standing instruction and it ends there.
Okay.
Second, if you don't have a checking account is when fixed deposit comes into the play. So it's either or, it is not and.
Okay, got it. Sure, makes sense. Are there any other points, Puneet, that you would like to highlight? Because, there's a lot of news also on social media and people saying we are facing issues with the stamp paper and different banks are asking for different stamp paper. And some customers are like, you know, we don't know how to go about it. Customers.
Stamp paper is a state subject and, each bank's legal compliance would have, simplified the whole approach note. And banks usually have a supply of, in every branch, we keep a supply of stamp papers handy, essentially to facilitate and for smooth processing of these transactions. Okay. So ideally, customers should not be put to any inconvenience.
Okay. But maybe there are some on-ground issues people may be facing, but
possible,
like you said,
possible.
Yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah. Again, so Puneet, anything else that you would like to highlight for bank customers who have, deposit lockers, anything from the agreement or anything in terms of how to, sign the revised agreement in a smooth manner?
No, it's a very straightforward process. Believe me, I've done it for my own locker.
Okay.
And I've done it like a customer of the bank and not an employee of the bank. And it was a very smooth two-step process. So I don't see any reason why customers would find an occasion to get inconvenience so long, as the staff at the respective branches are fully updated on the process and the steps that need to be followed. It's a very simple transaction to do.
Got it. So then just the last question, Puneet. Suppose despite all communication from the bank and whatnot, say a customer chooses not to sign this revised agreement and all the deadlines go past. I mean, so ultimately what happens? Or for example, there could be people whose parents had locker agreements and now the children don't know about it. So basically, nobody's gone and signed the revised agreement. What happens then to the locker?
In any case, there is a law which says that if there is no usage of locker for one full year, there are reminder messages that the banks are required to send to the customers. And if the customers, in spite of receiving those reminder messages, do not come and operate the locker, then there is provision in the locker agreement where after giving due notice, banks can break open the locker, secure the assets if there are any in the locker, and then put that locker to reuse. So that provision is available. Similarly, if the locker tariff remains unpaid for three consecutive years, there are again procedures and clauses in the agreement which take care of the rights of the customer and rights of the bank in how to maintain continuity of that. So it's very black and white. There's no ambiguity here, and those processes are followed.
Okay, got it, sure. So Puneet, this was really informative. Thank you so much for your time, and thanks for explaining it in such precise and clear terms. So thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Malik. My pleasure.
And with that, we wrap up this episode of Simply Save. For more news, views, and updates, do log on to moneycontrol.com.